Of man is amazing to me. We have become a society that is full of people that lack intelligence. To have to put on the side of a bottle of liquid plumber, do not reuse the bottle to store beverages. To put on the side of a box of hair coloring, do not use as an ice cream topping. To put on a hair dryer, do not use while taking a shower. To put on the side of a mattress, do not attempt to swallow. To put on the side of a hair dryer, do not use while sleeping. To put on the side of a jigsaw puzzle, some assembly required. To put on the side of a chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with hands. And to put on the side of a disposable razor, do not use this product during an earthquake. And the greatest one I saw in here was on a beach ball. Do not use as a life-saving device. Now let me ask you a question. If you are in a position where you need your life saved by a flotation instrument, do you care what it looks like? Here's the question I have. Is there a person that is standing on the boat with a beach ball in their hand and their loved one out there drowning? Do they look at the beach ball and say, I can't throw this to you. It's not supposed to be used as a life-saving device. Do you think that comes into their minds? Or are they just tossing the beach ball? What's sad is people have had to use these products in this manner for there to be a necessity of the description on the side of the box. So somebody has had to go to sleep and use a hairdryer. Somebody has, during an earthquake, had to use their disposable razor. Are you looking for a shave when the earth is quaking? We need prayer. The Old Paths Revival. I'm excited. I'm here to tell you I'm excited. I am the oldest 39-year-old that I know. I really am. And Miss Freymeyer is the oldest 18-year-old I know. I am thankful. Listen to me now, and you need to hear this. You need to know this, and you need to have this in your heart. You really need to have this in your heart. I am thankful that I have been brought up in a church that teaches and preaches the old paths. I am thankful because, understand this, you could have been born in Afghanistan. You could have been born elsewhere. You could have been born into a Catholic faith, but you were not. You were born and you were brought here by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you've got to understand that you've been afforded a great opportunity to know what truth is. We have taken that for granted, and because we've taken that for granted, the path that is the old path, and by the way, there's only one path that is the old path. That path has been overgrown. That path has had things grow up and cover it. That path is now disguised, and that path today is very hard to find, and very few people walk that old path. Very few. The preachers of old had machetes. The preachers of old walked the path enough to where that path was trodden down. And if it ever got any growth in the path, the old preachers would take out their chainsaws and did not stop the chains with their hands. They would take the chainsaws out and they would cut back the growth and they would cut back with machetes so we would have a clear path to walk and a clear path to see. I'm the oldest 39-year-old I know because I'm one that wants to stay with the old paths. I'm the one that wants to stay with the old stuff. I'm the one that wants to stay with the old book. I'm the one that wants to stay with the old music. I'm one that wants to stay with the old standards. I'm one that wants to stay with the old Savior. I'm the one that wants to stay with the old ways. I'm one that wants to stay where I've been taught to stay. The question is, are you one that's been taught? Are you one that wants to stay? Are you the one that desires to look at this path that's overgrown? Are you one that desires to walk through the brambles? Are you one that desires to walk through the briars? Are you the one that desires to walk through that way that may be difficult to walk, but that is the walk that we're supposed to be walking? Do you desire to walk there? I want to show you a scripture in Acts. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 24. I'm skipping ahead a little bit here in the Sunday school lessons, but that's all right. Acts chapter 24, Paul went to Ephesus, the great church of Ephesus. And after a while, and I'm just going to read this to you because this is good stuff. Let's have a word of prayer first. I'm so excited about the Old Paths Revival. Brother Mike Freimeyer, could you stand up and lead us in prayer this morning, please? Yes. Yes. That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you. What a great crowd this morning, by the way. Thank you all for coming. Acts chapter 24, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm just going to read a little bit here to you. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator, notice the word orator, named Tertullus. That means he can speak well. Doesn't mean he's smart, doesn't mean he's an intellectual, just means he's a great orator. Understand that. You need to understand, just because a person speaks well does not mean they're speaking truth. Boy, that's good. Thank you, Brother Dave. I appreciate that this morning. Tertullus came forward and he informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy a great quietness," this is he's saying this to the governor now, "we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Do I sound like an orator to you? I'm trying to sound like an orator. "Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with a great violence took him away out of our hands, commending his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him." Understand this. Paul was brought forward before Felix because they were accusing him of something he did not do. There's a lot of that going around today, by the way. I want you to notice a verse, though. Paul is then allowed to have his words. And he says in verse 10, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned him unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Let me stop here to caution you. It's amazing that how we take the word of an orator as gospel. Yeah. We do not wish to hear the accused speak. Let me say that again. We've got no problem hearing somebody that's got great vocabulary and great word processing and can speak fluently. We have no problem. Oh, he must be speaking truth. Right. And then you get a chance to hear the accused preacher that's been trying to do a great and mighty work. He stands up and talks to you. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That man that we're listening to is just a street kid. How in the world could a street kid do anything? Because he's not doing anything. It's God that's doing it. Amen. It's amazing how we can put ourselves into the shoes of a man and say, this is the way things ought to be done. It's amazing that we have no problem saying, well, glory to God, I don't think Jack Hiles ought to do the things that Jack Hiles did. You're not in Jack Hiles' shoes. Don't talk about Jack Hiles. It's amazing we say, well, brother Bob Gray does things and he ought to do things differently. Let me speak something to you. If these men have been standing for the faith and doing that which is right and changing not, don't you dare speak against those men. You just go ahead and hold their arms up and say, you know what, I'm right behind you. Yeah. Because what this nation needs today is somebody that's not tucking tail and running. It needs somebody that's willing to stand up for the old paths and the old ways and the old things. Yeah. "Neither found me," in verse 12, "in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me." Listen to me now. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, after that way, so worship I the God of my fathers. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning. The things that we have in our statement of faith. Some may call heresy. I call worshiping God. I do not think it heresy to hold on to that King James Bible. I'm going to preach a while, if you wouldn't mind. I'm a little tired this morning. Actually, I'm pretty excited and happy. I'm a little tired this morning of taking away from the Scriptures what they truly are. I'm a little tired this morning tying up God's hand saying, God's not able to bring us a Bible. I'm a little tired of people saying it's not inspired because they believe Tertullian, they can do better. I believe that we've got the very words of God in our language, in our hands, today. That's the old path, and that old path of that Bible is not walked much anymore. That old path of that Bible has been overgrown, and glory to God, deacons, glory to God, preacher, glory to God, men that are here today, we better take out the machetes and start hacking that path. Because let me ask you a question. I believe this day, in this day, and I could be wrong, but I believe in this day, this is the greatest battle that we're fighting. This is the greatest battle we're fighting. The reason this is the greatest battle we're fighting, because it's always been the greatest battle. The devil didn't pick the weakest front to fight. The devil picked the hardest front to fight. The devil picked the yea hath God said front. Now I'm going to stand here and tell you that the NIV is not the word of God. I'm going to stand here and tell you that the RSV is not the word of God. I'm going to stand here and tell you that the new versions are not the old paths. And I would rather have the old path and forsake the new than tuck tail and run when somebody comes and tells me, brother, you just don't know what you're talking about. The problem is we don't take that fight seriously anymore. We would rather stand at the trailhead and say, that's the old path. But I don't want to get my legs prickered in the thorns. That's the old path, but I can't build a church on the old path. I can't build a church on the old path because the people can't understand the words in the Bible. You know what? The Lord can help you understand the words in the Bible. The problem is we don't seek Him. I'm not going to tuck tail on the fact that I've got a Savior. Hey, listen, you may think that that's simple, that's elementary, really. That's what the old path has always been, simple and elementary, but we miss it every time. We miss it every time. The sign, it's got so overgrown with vines hanging on it now, vines hanging on the sign at the trailhead that says, old path, this way. You say, well, a Savior, that's simple. Jesus Christ is Savior. Yeah, you know that, but why do you know that? Because there's millions and millions of people that don't believe we've got a Savior. There's millions and millions of people that believe that the Savior comes from somewhere else or the Savior hasn't come yet. Or there's some things that prohibit us from having a Savior. Understand this. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Has nothing to do with Muhammad. I hope this is on tape today because I'm not afraid of the Islamic movement like everybody says. We got to tuck tail and we got to start having communion with these folks. We got to put them up on the stage with us because we need to have the Catholic priest to have our churches go forward. We need to have the imam over here to get our churches to go forward. Oh, we need to have our churches go forward, brother. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. We've got to have a Savior that's got a virgin birth. Got to have. If we don't have a Savior that's got a virgin birth, we've got a tainted Savior. Tainted Savior cannot be a Savior at all. Got to have a virgin birth. How did it happen, brother? I don't know. Ask God when we get there. I don't know how you have a birth in a virgin. I don't understand that. I'm glad I don't have to understand. I'm glad I've got eternal security. The Bible tells us in Jude 3 to earnestly contend for the faith. That means we've got to fight for something. Do you know what your faith is this morning? See, we're lucky. We're in a church that teaches this stuff daily. that talks about this stuff daily. I want to ask you a question. I want to show you something. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I stopped on this, the Savior and salvation, for a very important reason. We've had people come through the school that say to me, how in the world can you teach eternal security? Hey, listen, you. I desire to chuckle at that myself, but you must understand, that's a sad statement. You've got to come to grips with the fact that this nation is going to hell today because they don't believe you can have a Savior. You may think that that's simple and elementary, and you ought to be thankful that you can. You ought to thank God that you've got that information. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I've had people come in and say, well, glory to God, you can lose your salvation. How scary of a life is that, folks? How scary is a life that says you can lose your salvation is this way, and people have no problem following the path of I can lose my salvation, because the old path of you can't lose your salvation is becoming overgrown today. It's becoming overgrown because we lack the machetes and the wherewithal. Listen, a path doesn't stay clear on its own. You've got to work to keep that path cleared. You've got to fight to keep that path cleared. Earnestly contend for the faith. We've got the faith. Are we fighting for it today? If you look in 2 Timothy, you got to understand that Paul is telling these folks, listen, you're not going to see me anymore, and I want you to understand. I want you to see, let's start in verse 7 or verse 6 or verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Pausing here for a moment, understand this. Jesus Christ did not give us this faith so we can do with it as our eyes see fit. He gave us this faith because we're supposed to fight for the faith and the things that he has started, not what we have started. Once you get man involved, what happens? It's corrupted every time. You've got to give God the glory or don't give glory at all. Amen. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Glory, glory to God. Christ has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Amen. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now listen, I know who I have believed. I know the faith. I know what he's tried to teach me. I know it. I want you to know it. I want you to know what you're contending for. You say, well, Brother Dave, I don't think that's what he's talking about. It's talking about two things here. Yes, he's talking about his salvation. The Lord's able to keep him against that day. I understand that. But look at what it says in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by thy Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. The Bible says back in Acts, understand this, the Bible says back in Acts when he is leaving, I've got to move on for time. Back in Acts, he says, you're not going to see my face again. The very next thing he tells them, you've got to hear this. You've got to know this. I'm 39 years old. I come to the realization every day that the gray-headed are departing from us. My dear friend Al Lacey is sick all the time. Brother Roy Thompson is sick all the time. These men, are the ones that have fought to keep the path clear. Dr. Jack Kiles wrote a book, What Great Men Have Taught Me. Throughout that book, he talks about men fighting for the faith. What will we do when Dr. Skyver's gone? Do we have a man that is willing to pick up this old machete and start hacking? Hey, listen. I don't believe there's one ashamed bone in his body for how he lived for Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I know we can all do better. I understand that. But we're human, every one of us. And glory to God, he knows our frame. But there's been a man that walked before me, my dad. I don't mind holding my dad up. You can say what you want to. He's my family. Who else should I hold up? Should I hold up somebody else more? He's my dad.
Amen.
Good Lord have mercy. We have a problem. Well, he's just your family. Why wouldn't you hold your family up? Go chew your gum somewhere else. He's walked and tried to teach me the old path.
Amen.
You're not on your own. Hey, listen, you're not on your own. You're not your own man. Don't think for 1 minute you're your own man. There's been men that have walked before you. Jesus Christ walked that path. Jesus Christ walked that path with a machete trying to clear the old path so we can have the old path. Many men have gone before us giving their lives for this cause. Don't think for 1 minute I'm going to stand up here and tuck tail when I see these men in a trail of blood they left for us because we needed to have that trail of blood so we can find our way to that old path. Paul beckons them. He says, there's going to be people among you. This is where the fear comes. There's going to be people among you, in the midst of you, in your fundamental circles, that are not going to worry about sparing their flock. There's going to be people among you that are going to stand at the trailhead of the old path that has been cleared by the senior saints that have gone before us. That path. The path that we ought to walk. That path. That path where these men stood. They stood here. And the new men stood at this trailhead. The new men. And the new men said, it's much clearer this way. The new men stood here and said, boy, there isn't near as much undergrowth here. The new men stood here. Now listen, this isn't new. This has been going on since Bible times. We are not as many as corrupt the word of God. This has been going on for a long time. Men have been fighting to not go that way for centuries. It's been this day that it's been more attractive than ever to walk that way toward the coffee house and the rock music. It's been easy to walk this way away from the King James Bible. And I have people that carry the King James Bible. Now, I carry the King James Bible. But it's not inspired. I carry the King James Bible, but it's not preserved. Hey, listen. I'm tired of living the days where people don't call out names anymore.
Amen.
I'm tired of living the days where people are worried about being politically correct. I'm tired of living the days when black's not called black and white's not called white. I'm tired of living the days where right is wrong and wrong is right. I'm tired of living the days when the Bible's not only not even an authority, the Bible's laughed at and mocked. I'm tired of living the days when men think they've got a better idea on the Scripture than God has on the Scripture. I'm tired of living a day when people don't believe anymore. I'm tired of living a day where we don't have faith anymore. I'm tired of living a day where we don't see great revivals anymore. Hey, listen, the reason we're not going to have a great revival is because we don't have a heart that's ready for revival. You're not willing to get down on your knees for 30 seconds to pray for your heart to get right. Glory to God, brother. Thank you for the coupons you're giving me this morning. You're ornery. I had an extra large Dunkin' Donuts coffee. You've got me rolling now.
Amen.
Who are you at 39 years old to tell me anything? I wasn't anybody if I was 65 years old.
Amen.
Grab a hold of that. I'm not anybody, doesn't matter what age I am. But God is somebody. God is somebody, and he's gave us a word that is something. And we've got to be willing to stand on it. Do you realize? And you've got to grab hold of it. Brother Dave, all you ever talk about is the Bible. Listen, that's what needs to be talked about a little bit. I tell you what, I'll stop talking about it when you start believing it. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, that's good preaching, good night and a morning. I'm going to tell you right now, everything you know, you really got to wrap your head around this. Everything we know about God is contained in these beautiful pages of this love letter that was written for you in blood. Everything we need to know about Christ is in here. I get this challenge all the time. I get it all the time. Well, Brother Dave, I think I've got a great idea on the scripture. The vast majority of the time, I'll stop the conversation because I don't have an idea on the scripture. I don't. It's already in here. I don't need an idea. I got an idea. Let's believe it. Brother Dave, you don't need the Bible to get saved. Hey, listen, you need to hear this. You need to hear this because this is what's happening today. I can get somebody saved. Good Lord, you give me a songbook, I'll get somebody saved. That's not what the Bible says. You know why they can believe this? Because they don't read this. You can say what you want to say, glory to God, but let me explain something to you. You're not going to get saved apart from the Word of God. That's hard to swallow, I know. But I wonder if it was hard to swallow for Jesus Christ to walk the Calvary Road. I wonder if that was hard to swallow. I wonder if it was hard to swallow when they brought the cat of nine tails and treated him like he was a common thief. I wonder if it was convenient and comfortable for Christ to be hung naked on a cross. I'm sorry, preacher, but I don't want the new paths. I want the old ones. Everything you know about Christ is contained in those pages. Everything you know. I can get saved from something different. Take the Bible out of your salvation. You don't even know the name of Christ without the Bible. You don't even know his name. You don't even know that there was a crown of thorns if you take away the Bible. You don't even know that he exists personally without the Bible. There are two preachers that are without the Bible, but those are given to you so you search after him.
Right.
Those are given to a person because with those two preachers, your God conscience, which is put inside of you, and the glorious world that he has made, those two things let you know that there is a God.
Yes.
But without this, you don't know anything about him. Oh, you know he's a wonderful organizer. Oh, good Lord, how couldn't you be a wonderful organizer with what he's given us? You know that he's fantastically intelligent. It's amazing that how everybody in this world is unique. Think about how long it took him to figure that out. See, we live in a world today that has been overshadowed by the new thoughts and the new people and the Tortulises of the world. The Tortulises of the world that come to you with their sweet-sounding symbolic voices that cannot wait to say, oh, glory to God, I've got a better idea, I've got a better rendition. We talked to a lady yesterday, my wife and I, and I love how she dealt with this lady. This lady came to us, and understand this, you've got to come to grips with the sorrow of this. We may make light of this, but it's a sorrowful thing for me to hear these kind of things. The lady said, I used to be Jehovah's Witness, but to keep family unity, I'm now a Catholic. And to keep going with the faith, I now follow a man that used to be a Catholic, but now he's a non-denominational. He shows the circle of life, how everybody believes the same thing, and everybody's just going to heaven, no matter everybody. My wife says, listen, I'm not worried about your religion. I'm worried about what you do with Christ.
Amen.
See, what saddens my heart is this. There's people like her walking around, and the only reason that they're walking around is because the old paths are overgrown.
Yep.
You can say what you want to say, but that's where it's at.
These
old revivals that these guys had, these big-time revivals where men got down for hours and prayed for them, do you know why those don't happen anymore? Because you can't see the old path.
Right.
Wherein is the good way?
Yeah.
I don't care about a way. I want the good way.
Amen.
I want what Christ has given me. And I'm so thankful that I've got a dad that's passed that down to me. I'm so thankful I've had a dad that's fought for all these years. Yeah, he's silver-haired. But let me explain something to you. I'm going to stand with my preacher. Because he showed me the old paths.
Amen.
If he starts going down a different path, we'll worry about that when we cross it. But I'm going to stand with my man of God.
Amen.
Because that's what the old paths teach me to do. Follow right behind. Have a machete and clear the path just a little bit wider. Brother Mark, don't you ever stop preaching the word of God. Brother Mike, don't you ever stop preaching the word. Don't you dare tuck tail and run. We've got people that have gone on before us that need us to keep clearing that path.
Right. That's right.
You want to talk about the old paths? You have to talk about the old men. And to talk about the old men, you've got to get in that book and see what they've done. I thank God for Paul clearing an old path for me, letting me know that in among us are going to be people that raise up wolves, ravenous wolves, not sparing the flock, are going to raise up from among us. And you know what's funny? I'm going to take the machete and I'll lop their head right off.
Amen.
That's just not human. I think it's worse to let the old path grow over. Because
yes.
I've got children. I want those children to have the old path.
Yes.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the men that have gone on before. I thank you for the men. And Lord, I do not have the time to show my gratitude. I don't. Because I'm going to be honest with you, it would take me an eternity to thank Paul. It would take me an eternity to thank Christ. It would take me an eternity to thank my dad. It would take me an eternity to thank the men that have gone on before us to keep the path clear. Lord God, I'm begging you today. I am begging you to get more men involved that are ready to hack that path. I'm not done with America yet, God, and I don't believe you're done with America yet. But America is not going to return to its greatness unless it walks the old path.
Amen.
Lord God, be with us. Help this revival. Help stir the hearts of these people that they want the old ways and the old path because that's where the good things are. Lord, be with us. I'm 39 years old, Lord. I need your help. I need you to keep me on the right path. Lord, please keep me on the old path for the entirety of my ministry. Because, Lord, I love you, and that's the path you started for us, and I want to walk that path. Lord, bless my preacher. Anoint his lips this morning to preach with power.
Amen.
Anoint Brother Thompson to preach with power. And, Lord, have your hand on the rest of the services. I'm begging you today, and I say and I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
We have an invitation right now. If you're here today and you don't know if you die, if you go to heaven or hell, you don't want to die and go to hell, you could say, preacher, pray for me. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to go to hell. Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Let me see it. Anyone? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. I wonder, before we close out, when this is a real invitation, don't worry about the people out in the foyer. Maybe after, well, I'll tell you, my heart stirred after that. What a phenomenal message. I wish the whole country could have heard that message. If you weren't stirred with that message, man, something's wrong with you. I wonder. We're in revival right now. Maybe you've stirred away from the old past. You'd say, preacher, why Dr. Ballard preached, God spoke to my heart. I need to get back to the old past. Pray for me. You'd say that. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Who else? Pray for us. Pray for us. I need to get back to the old past. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for a young man that cares about the old past. I used to be a young man that cared about the old past. Now I'm an old man or older man that cares. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the older men that went before me and put the great truths in my heart that paved the way. I pray for these younger folk that they'll get it down deep in their heart. And they'll never let it go. No matter what the world does, I pray that they'll stay determined for the old paths of God.
Yes.
Lord, there was at least three or four people that I saw. I pray you'll help those people that raised their hand. Lord, I know you're speaking to them. Help them to draw close to you. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never trusted you as Savior, I pray, dear God, that today will be the day of salvation.
Yes.
We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.